Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, abundance, and laughter from our hearts to yours, swirling in the studio, got all the energy and all the colors of the spectrum shining from our hearts straight into yours. Oh, wow. What a beautiful, blessed day we have present with us. We have a very, very special show for you guys today. I'd like to introduce back to the Vibration Station, the one and only, the man, Bruce Rawls. How are you doing, my friend? It is such a pleasure to have you on the show again. It's been too long. I've missed you.
Hi, David. Thanks, as always, for having me on your show. I always appreciate it.
I thank you for coming on the show, Bruce. I got to say, you know, this show, as you're familiar, and listeners, if it's your first time listening, our show revolves around giving you knowledge, giving you ideas to ponder, and then you take those ideas and you determine whether they make your life better, whether it works for you, or if you just think I'm cuckoo, that's okay as well, because to each is their own. But to my defense, there is a tremendous amount of physics. There's just so much proof that is pretty blatantly obvious that there is more to this quantum universe than we have given ourselves credit in understanding. So that's why I just love, with all of my heart, bringing Bruce on the show. Bruce is, he's just hands down one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever had the pleasure of having in my life. For the listeners that aren't already familiar with Bruce, you guys got to make sure to check out geometrycode.com. Once again, that's geometrycode.com. It's extremely powerful. Obviously, you know, the book, the Geometry Code, Universal Symbolic Mirrors, Natural Laws Within Us, Friendly Reminders of the Inclusion. Oh, excuse me. Right. Friendly Reminders of Inclusion to Forgive the Dreamer of Separation. It's like my favorite title ever, too. It's just so awesome. So we, as a collective here on the show, really like to bring Bruce as often as he's able to come on the show just to spread his knowledge. And we had the pleasure of talking about some of the really life-changing fundamental aspects of the human experience, which Bruce really goes in depth with in the Geometry Code, Universal Symbolic Mirrors of Natural Laws Within Us, Friendly Reminders of Inclusion to Forgive the Dreamer of Separation. So, let's kick this bad boy off. First and foremost, the most important thing is Bruce. How are you feeling today, man?
I'm good. I mean, it's in a very relaxed, mellow state, actually. I just had some my sister and brother-in-law came up from that part of the state, actually. They're just on their way back down to Southern California, having a nice, okay. a short but nice visit. And just kind of hanging out, having a very relaxing Sunday, and it's always a joy to join you, and always a little bit overwhelming when I hear your introduction and think, who is this guy that they're that David is describing? I do have fun with the things that I look into, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do. And today I think would be great to talk about something that basically ties it all together.
Yes,
that really is. The principle of reflection, how we're all reflections for each other. So all those, glowing and exuberantly enthusiastic labels that you just described to me are really a reflection of your awareness. Mm. And that's true for all of you. And the you being a placeholder idea for the oneness that we really all are. But I think the way that we – that's such a deep mystical awareness to try to jump into that I think we have to kind of sashay up to it
yes.
gradually.
Yes.
And I think the way that we do that is through a shared interest that become eventually a shared identity. And the inclusion, I think, that you've mentioned twice in the subtitle of the Geometry Show book. Thank you very much. Appreciate the promotion there.
But of course. Very powerful book. It is.
Well, thanks. Anyway, but the inclusion, I think, is so crucial, because if we leave anyone or anything out,
right.
Then we're basically saying that the universe isn't complete, and we somehow are responsible for that incompletion. And I think that's really the source that a lot of the profound metaphysical writings and philosophy that's come down to us through the ages.
Yes.
From countless sources, but it certainly is available to us in a lot of different ways, would suggest that it's that the willingness to look at what's in the unconscious and see it projected out that really fits this principle, the second Hermetic law that we've gone over kind of an overview before, and the most recent conversation we had was about the first of the seven Hermetic laws,
yes.
which is the law of mentalism, that everything is in the mind. Everything is truly – it really is a mental universe, because for us to even believe in our perceptions, we have to ascribe meaning to a whole bunch of vibratory sensory data that comes in through what we think of as our five physical senses, and probably a few more that we're not even consciously aware of.
So true.
But it all forms patterns and images and concepts and basically it's a reflection of an idea or an intention to see things. Stuff, whether it's a microscopic or macroscopic scale, but to see a universe of form outside of ourselves,
right.
and that really, if the the ancient mystics and modern physics and a whole lot in between is correct, we might want to just take a look at that assumption and maybe see that as an assumption, and consider that perhaps that. What we're perceiving is really a projection, just like a hologram, or just like an image that you see on a movie theater screen, or your computer screen, or anything like that. And it's
so true.
It's a reflection, and that reflection, the lens through which we perceive, we think of the eye as having a lens, and sometimes people go to get cataract surgery to clear up those optical systems on a biological sense, or you go to an optometrist to supplement that and things get wagged out in the biological sense. You correct it, but. All those optical things are just mirrors and metaphors and reflections for how the mind has made up a massive collection of interpretations that we call the material universe. And by shifting what we think about, what we imagine, and what we perceive to be reality, and certainly the thought system through which we perceive and ascribe meaning to, that changes everything. And
yes.
And in that the very first chapter of this book that you thank you again for mentioning the Geometry Code, I made a point to talk about, and just to, again for, as a bit of a review to set the stage for the second Hermetic Law, the idea that there's really two thought systems, and there's a lot of different ways of approaching things. There, you know, certainly as many as there are people on the planet in terms of the form, but in terms of if you distill it down to the content, we all have ultimately two basic thought systems and a decision-making faculty that chooses between them constantly. And wow. And sometimes very rapidly we shift back from one to the other. But the thought system of inclusion would suggest that we're all in the same boat. We're all here together, and we're all at the mercy of the same seeming externals, or
yes.
we're at the mercy of our merciful mind.
Right.
If we can shift that awareness to one of exclusion, to where there's things outside of us, which again is a made up idea ultimately, to
so
where
true.
There are emissaries and actors and agents and representatives that become the mechanism by which our intentions and our orders are carried out. Our stage direction is carried out in an incredibly detailed and complex manner. And we could, you know, cite all kinds of laws of the billiard ball, you know, mechanical universe
right.
to summon to our defense of saying, well, it's because of this, and this happened because of that, and you know, this vast network of things.
Wow.
Which we'll, you know, talk about when we get to the law of cause and effect, but so because all these things tie together, all these laws relate to each other.
Absolutely.
But Absolutely. The one I think that would be, you know, since we're going at these in sequence,
yes.
the second of the Hermetic Laws after mentalism
is correspondence,
which
yes.
and there's this classic book called The Kabbalion that came out about a century ago, and it's a distillation of wisdom that has allegedly come down from ancient Egypt, pre-dynastic certainly, that states as above, so below, as below, so above.
I was and just going to read that. I was just going to say, yeah, sorry, please go on.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was actually just going to open that up by saying, interestingly enough, well, not interestingly, it's synchronistically, you know, as you were saying, you know, it's all a reflection. It's like it's essentially like a completely 3D interactive holographic projection of consciousness. And
yeah.
it's like our bodies are the so imagine, you know, imagine the world as a living PlayStation. It's like it's a completely interactive game, and your controller is the human vehicle, right? So as you're saying, you know, the reflection, and I'm thinking about these things, I was reading because, you know, I knew that our topic for the day was going to be correspondence, the second of the seven Hermetic Laws. And as you said, everything is a reflection. I was reading, quote, as above, so below, as below, so above, unquote, the Kabbalion. So I was going to open the correspondence with saying that quote and say that you – so in your book on page 74, on the first page after chapter 5, correspondence, second of the seven Hermetic Laws, you open this chapter with a great quote. You say, what do you forgive? Well, it's simple. Whatever comes up in front of your face on any given day, that's what you're supposed to forgive. It's not a mystery. It's always right there in front of you. You may think you can't see what's in your unconscious mind. Well, you don't have to. All you have to see is the symbolic representation of it that is being presented to you right now. Symbolic of that which already exists in your own unconscious mind. As you forgive that, you're really forgiving yourself. Absolutely love that. And then right below that, Bruce, you chose to input that quote, you know, as above, so below, as below, so above. And I just think that that was such a perfect, you really are a wonderful, you know, linguist. And the way that you portray these ideas are really powerful and very, very clear. That's why I love your readings. I love your teachings. I love your books, because you're able to really grasp the idea of, you know, what it is that you're trying to extend to the collective, and you're able to communicate it in a way that's completely understandable. So I think that, you know, I'm sorry for ranting on. I really do love this book. Listeners, for those of you that don't have a copy, I highly suggest checking it out. There's multiple places on the internet that you can get it, geometrycode.com being one of them. Bruce, if I'm not mistaken, is this book available on Amazon for people to, I know that it was,
through CreateSpace.
CreateSpace, yes.
Which is a sister organization to Amazon.
Yes. So yeah. You can also check out, you can also get it on createspace.com. So I highly suggest, guys, I have a lot of listeners that, tune into the show, so they can learn about these laws, learn how to apply these laws to their life to live a happier, healthier, wealthier, wiser lifestyle. Well, it starts with, you know, educating yourself and applying the knowledge. So, yeah, guys, make sure to pick up a copy of this book if you haven't already. And, Bruce, we're going to get back into this. I apologize for rambling on. I just love the intro to your book. Totally love the intro to your book. And just to cite that, that was Gary Renard in The End of Reincarnation. So, Bruce, I guess I'm just going to start off with the heavy hitter question, right?
Okay.
So,
and thank you for that citation, because I there's so much that I have basically just passed along, you know, borrowed, if you will, from other excellent writers, and Gary's one of them that I'm very fond of, Ken Wapnick being another, and I've sprinkled very liberally lots of great quotes from lots of superb authors. So I think 99% of it is just finding really good sources and sharing them,
yeah,
and passing them along. So
that's a powerful, that's the way communication is, that's a way an idea is communicated, you know,
by
taking what's already been pondered and then creating it in your own, you know, which you've done beautifully. I mean, you've really mastered that ability to, as I said moments ago, convey, you know, these really powerful and profound messages of the laws of the universe and the laws of geometry and the correlation between creation, geometry, everything. So thank you, Bruce, for really, you know, dedicating your life to educating the collective consciousness. The world needs more Bruce Rawls.
Well, I'm probably enough. But I think we all need to you know, ultimately look at the contents of our minds,
yes,
and do what that wonderful quote that starts that chapter that you read very well and shared eloquently, and that is that all we need to do really is in order to undo the seeming predicament that we think that we're in, whatever you know labels we want to put on that,
yes,
is to just look at examine the contents of our unconscious mind by seeing that everything around us is a reflection of that. If the mystics are right and physics is right, then you know, as physicist John Wheeler said, I've probably used this way too many times, but it's a favorite quote from physics, is there's no out there. Meaning that what we think of as external is really an internal phenomena, and the interpretations or translations we make depend on which thought system we're using. If we think of the world around us as being something that's happening to us, then we're always going to be a victim of what is going on, whether it's
so,
you know, whether it's an election year or an environmental disaster,
yes,
or a geopolitical turmoil economically, or you know, it could go on and on. It just the amount of, you know, the number of specifics we could apply to these generalized principles is seemingly infinite, but we don't have to undo everything all at once. We can just look at moment to moment what's going on in our world and see that as an opportunity to see the contents of our mind and see that those contents, the things that appear in front of us, are mirrors.
Yes.
Just as a lens brings light seemingly from the outside to land on a retina or a piece of film and or a digital substrate on a chip in our phones or whatever it happens to be to form an image, which is a representation. All it is, you know, whether it's the emulsion on a film, you know, an analog system, or whether it's the ones and zeros that are triggered by the photons that strike the semiconductor substrate on your camera and your phone, whether it's pick any metaphor. It's basically we're saying that there's something that's on the outside that hits something on the inside.
Yes.
And those insides and outsides are completely arbitrary, of course.
Yes.
But for the purposes of analogy, you know, we use those a lot. But the interpretations we give to those pixels, if you will, are strictly a matter of our choice of thought system.
Yes.
We can either make them meaningful in one way or another. We can say that this is something that is a problem that I need to destroy,
right,
or to be upset about.
Right.
Or we can say this is merely a representation of something that is within my unconscious mind. And I've projected it out using this incredibly sophisticated holodeck, to borrow from Star Trek metaphors, that seems to be a massive, massive machine that works 24/7, 365. And in our waking dreams or our sleeping dreams, you know, the system keeps on ticking. And the beauty,
true,
though, is once we start seeing gently what's going on and not taking it quite so seriously, if we can see that it's a projection and recognize that it's all made up, if it's all made up, then certainly we can do everything we can within the context of the self that we think we are, to be kind and to be helpful and to, you know, take care of ourselves and our families and our friends and our you know, coworkers and our communities and our countries and our planet and so forth and so on.
It's so true.
And at the same time, we can begin to develop slowly but surely an ease and a comfort that suggests that what we really are is beyond that image making system. The
right.
Self, the real identity, and that's why I thought it was so important to start off this book with the question of identity, because the identity determines the outcome of the experience completely. If we think of the universe as this malevolent thing that's out to get us, and we're at the mercy of stuff outside,
right?
That's a fearful place.
It is. I was
frankly,
might as well throw in the books right now. You know, shoot yourself in the foot and go home.
Like,
metaphorically. No. But no, I completely resonate with you. I mean, you're absolutely right. To the T, Bruce. And it's because, you know, when we if we were to just apply on a global scale, if the collective consciousness were to understand this and apply these laws to their daily lives, it wouldn't take too much to shift the energy of this planet into the higher octaves, to where, you know, the vibrations are just overall, it's a higher vibration. The planet is vibrating at a higher frequency. The collective consciousness of the planet is vibrating at a higher frequency. Just like you said, you know, we can use our thoughts with this knowledge, with applying this deliberate knowledge. We can use our thoughts to benefit our loved ones, to benefit, mm-hmm. not of course benefit, you know, ourselves, because we're only good to others if we're good to ourselves. You know, if we're not being good to ourselves, we can't be of service to anyone else. I do believe that.
Sure.
So, you know, be good to yourself, be good to your other people, people that you love, people around you, people you don't even know in traffic, be good to them, be good to them. And just like you said, Bruce, you know, we, with this knowledge, you know, you're empowering yourself and you can deliberately focus your attention to change certain physical outcomes in your reality, because it is all a holographic projection of consciousness. Nothing exists outside of what you put your attention to. And there's just, it's over and over again that we under, that physics proves this to us. You know, it's like, and anybody that denies it is just, they just don't understand the research that has gone
well,
into
this. We all do almost all the time, because
right,
we're so wrapped up. And wow. The principle that's described in the metaphysical system that I have found so helpful, called A Course in Miracles, that one of its foremost teachers named Kenneth Wapnick suggests over and over again, as something that is worth looking at and forgiving, as the quote, Gary Renard quote suggested that you read earlier, we can afford to forgive the resistance that we have to looking at that, because essentially what we're undoing is the investment in the we versus they thought system.
Yes.
That's kind of the meat and potatoes, the bread and butter, the primary substance of the egoic mind. That is another name for the thought system of exclusion that says my interests are somehow more important than yours, and the my and the yours, you know, as long as there's an other, in quotes,
yes,
that otherness is really the enemy of the sharedness, the shared interests, which ultimately leads to the shared identity and back to the oneness. But, you know, again, that's just kind of more of an esoteric idea for most of us, that you know, we're the ideal and we're intuitively drawn to that. But I think where the rubber meets the road on an everyday basis, the way that we get around and go beyond the limitations of our egoic misperceptions is right. to basically squarely look at each of the things that happens, you know, to us, seemingly to us,
right?
which really is a feedback loop.
Exactly,
it's an optical delusion of consciousness, as yes. Einstein said.
I love that. I've always loved that. An optical delusion of consciousness. Isn't that great?
It is. There's another quote from Dean Radin that I have in this chapter on correspondence. I think it's really good. I'll just read that.
Yes, please.
He says, "One of the most surprising discoveries of modern physics is that objects aren't as separate as they may seem.
Yes.
When you drill down into the core of even the most solid-looking material, separateness dissolves. All that remains, like the smile of the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, are relationships extending curiously throughout space and time." Throughout. And I would suggest beyond space and time, actually.
Yes, yes.
"These connections were predicted by quantum theory and were called spooky action at a distance by Albert Einstein."
I love that.
Because, like, well, how could something that's not right there affect something that seems to be far away? Well,
yes.
What if there is no such thing as far away? To quote Richard Bach.
Wow.
Another favorite author. One of the founders of quantum theory, Erwin Schrödinger, dubbed this peculiarity entanglement, saying, "I would not call that one, but rather the characteristic trait of quantum mechanics."
I absolutely love that.
And that's from Dean Radin, who's
that's
written a lot about it.
So, "I would not call that one, but rather the characteristic trait of quantum mechanics."
All right. Oh, so if everything is interconnected, then that means that our basic assumption about the idea of differences is really a fundamentally made up idea.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And physics confirms that, because it's basically saying that, you know, just for example, you know, the electron cloud, yeah, that is really just, you know, an idea that conceptually gives us a way of relating to how the subatomic structure of things works. You know, I grew up in an era where there was the orbitals and the shells and the p orbitals and the s orbitals and all that kind of stuff, and you know, these electron shells and so forth. But then quantum physics came along, you know, actually came along before, but it finally got introduced into the curriculum a bit after I was in grade school. And so we kind of had to have these remedial ideas that suggest that, well, there's really not anything called an electron. It's just a hypothetical construct, just as atoms are, basically, you know.
Right.
Because you can't, once you try to pin down what an atom is in terms of its mass and its velocity and,
right, like its structure,
all those parameters.
Yes.
Basically, it's a squirrely little thing.
Yeah.
And you put your thumb down and say, okay, it's here and it's doing this right now. And said, well, modern physics says, no, not quite. Once you try to nail it down, once you collapse the waveform, yeah, it becomes something else, you know.
Exactly.
And so, in other words, once we try to limit mind to a specific, basically mind says, I'm not limited.
Yes, it's so true.
I think that's such a great lesson for all of us, and really, ultimately, a hopeful one. It basically is kind of scary, only in the sense of the part of us that's identified with the specifics, I think, knows that its days are numbered, ultimately.
Yes.
But it's not going to happen all at once. We're not going to suddenly go poof and disappear into a you know, an etheric cloud of abstraction. You know, that's not too likely.
No.
Maybe a few mystics here and there over the millennia, but I think the rest of us, you know, for the most part, we
yeah,
our work is cut out for us. And just looking at what comes up as the author you quoted from the beginning of the chapter, Gary Renard, suggests, you know, just whatever comes up in front of our face on a given day, that's our forgiveness classroom.
That's our
classroom for looking at what the unconscious mind that we have access to, that is our seemingly specific part, that really is part of a larger script,
yes,
is then projected out. And I think the eye and the lens is such a great metaphor for that, because if you take two circles and you take them, you know, take two equal circles of equal size and overlap them in such a way that the circumference of one, the border of one, touches the center of another, you'll find that that is true for both of them.
Yes.
And the shape that's generated by those two overlapping circles is called the vesica piscis, or the mandorla, sometimes an almond shape. Nimbus, I've heard that term used before, and particularly in terms of, there's a lot of Renaissance art that depicts,
yeah,
the figure of Jesus, and certainly, you know, it's not limited to just that one religion, but you could certainly find other examples in art and architecture and countless examples going backward through the ages. But the idea being that if there is a common or a shared interest, what's the overlap? The overlap is the eye. That's where we see eye to eye. That's
right.
Where, when we where we have phrases like, "Well, I see where you're coming from," or I see what you're saying," or whatever, you know. And that's that shared vision, that shared interest, that shared understanding, ultimately, is most effective when we're sharing the purpose of awakening,
yes,
from that dream of separate interests, where
so
where the antagonistic, adversarial relationship that is at the heart of everyone's, you know, selfish ego, to be blunt, and
yes,
we all have that, you know, consciousness.
Of course,
if we can look at that without condemnation, say, oh yeah, that's just the default program that I came here with.
We would
another favorite quote from my one of my favorite teachers, Ken Wapnick.
Yes.
If babies, you know, if their babbling could be interpreted from newborn status, when they really are. What they're really saying when we hear "goo goo gaga," you know, it's really "it's not my fault."
Yeah, totally. Yes,
it's not my fault. Yes. I didn't ask for this. You know, but that's kind of the, and we can laugh at that. But if you think about it, the overriding idea of our egos is, you know, I'm the victim of the world that
right.
I see.
Right.
And, you know, if we could translate it into a sort of a generalized complaint, that would be it. I mean, that's you know, somebody's doing something to me. You know, the classic, you know, soap opera or country western lyric of somebody done somebody wrong, and that somebody happens to be, you know, the victim is me, of course.
And, of course. And someone else has to pay because they did something to me. You know, it's all
right,
it's so ego based. It's so
and it's just recycling that endless cycle of anger, attack, victimization, and you know, and then, you know, hurling whether it's epithets or missiles back and forth.
Wow.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's literal or figurative. Just the idea that there's an adversarial thought system is really at the root of our misinterpretations of the world, and I think that's where there's incredible hope if we take the modern physics and gradually allow it to seep into our minds in terms of the metaphysics that is, you know, ultimately can be derived from that, or at least based upon that understanding that, you know, there really isn't an out there and everything is entangled, because the idea of distance and time are both concepts that we made up to try to use as propaganda to reinforce this system. Now, to ignore those, you know, at our peril, of course, we don't want to just, you know, say that this is a guide for behavior, because it's not. I mean, obviously, you know, when you're in traffic, you want to work with the things you've learned since childhood and avoid other cars and use your turn signal and hopefully apply, you know, courtesy and finesse in your and navigation through life, you know, and not just on the freeway, but
it's a metaphor.
but the idea behind it is that if we can begin to cultivate a gentle, relaxed, almost amused attitude of realizing, well, okay, this couldn't possibly be the limit of what I am and what all the people that I think are around me are.
Right.
And we get glimpses of that. I think in every lifetime we have at least moments or at least glimpses of opportunities to see that there's got to be more than meets the eye. There's got to be an intrinsic interconnectedness, whether you want to call it quantum entanglement or spooky action at distance, as Albert Einstein did, or inexplicable interconnection that where, you know, if you think of someone and they phone you and you haven't talked to them in several years, you know, we call those coincidences. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, oh, well, how could that have happened? You know,
because you are magnetically and vibrationally communicating on other levels. It's true.
So if we condemn, we're condemning ourselves and perpetuating the fabricated walls.
Yes.
That our senses by default confirm that there's a Bruce and there's a David and there's nothing in common, and you know, and that's how the world sees separate people, separate things, and so forth.
Exactly.
And you know, we kind of have to use the rudiments of that just to get around and do things in the world. But if we can start to see that there's a correspondence between everything and everyone, and that's the relationship is that quote from Dean Radin suggests that is the important thing. You know, it's the relationship between the seemingly separate things that is really at the heart of it. It's the essence
of
the real identity that we have. And because that relationship in truth has no barriers and no limits.
Yeah.
The relationship between a photon or a neutron in an atom at the end of my finger is no different than similar objects, you know, particles, whatever, on another galaxy somewhere.
It's so true. It's so true. And sorry to interrupt you, Bruce. I just got this like...
Oh, I've been going on.
No. I actually wanted to ask you about this because I had an extremely profound experience that is in perfect alignment with what we're talking about.
Hey.
And with the little less than 7 minutes we have left of the show, I thought this would be... I know. We just have so much fun. It just... The time just flies. Would we start getting together. It's amazing because the time actually doesn't exist. It's
okay,
one
quick,
big
get
moment.
To your experience.
yeah, seriously. So something that was really amazing. I go to the Self-Realization Center.
Uh-huh.
It was funded by Paramahansa Yogananda's foundation.
Yeah.
So I try to go there as often as I can, and I got the opportunity to meet this really fantastic individual. He, we just got into talking. We were both meditating. We were around the shrine. All of a sudden, we just kind of like locked eyes, and then we started talking. This was kind of right after the meditation. We were both vibing really high, feeling very present with the energy and very present with the moment. So he started talking to me about – we just started talking about vibration, law of attraction, the law of vibration, law of correspondence. We were talking about the Hermetic laws. We started just going into all these different things. So he asked me before. He said, have you ever become one with another person? And I said, what do you mean by this? He goes, have you ever literally become one with another person? So you – He goes, you know, your consciousness joins the same vibration as another person's consciousness, and then you actually become one unit. And I said, no, I can't say that I have. So he goes, would you like to try? Now, this happened a couple months ago. So all of a sudden, we sit down, we start this meditation, we started off with a chant, like a certain chant that he was doing. And he told me to close my eyes, and then he would tap me. And then this is when I was supposed to open my eyes, and I was stare. And then I stare into his eyes. Bruce, the most phenomenal thing happened to me, and I'm going to tell you, listeners. I don't care if you think I'm cuckoo or not. I had my own experience. I was completely sober. It's just like I was completely like just present in the moment, and I was exercising the laws of the universe. So this is what happens. So this man, he's like this master meditator, like just a master. He starts this meditation. We start chanting together, and then he taps me. I open my eyes. I'm in this very, very deep state. It's almost like he hypnotized me in like a weird way without telling me. Like I just this overwhelming love came over my body. This overwhelming sense of peace. So I'm looking into his eyes and I'm staring, just like staring, and I'm losing myself in this. Guys, this sounds funny. I'm losing myself just like we're staring at each other and chanting and like oming and holding this vibration. Bruce, all of a sudden, I could feel his energy going through my body, and then it was like a torus. It was like a torus field where I could feel his energy going through my body, and then all of a sudden my energy like connected with him. Okay, Bruce, he picked up his left hand and it moved my hand. I was completely, I swear, I was completely like, not moving my hand. I was not moving anything. I was staring in this guy's eyes, chanting. We connected. I felt this connection, and he could feel the connection. He deliberately, like, you know, introduced it to me, and I accepted it because my vibration was high. And he started moving my arm through him moving his arm, and we had become one unit. And I could think, Bruce, I could hear in my head what he was thinking. I could feel on a deep, deep level what he was feeling. And it got to the point to where I had to pull away. And I was astonished, to say the least. I was flabbergasted. And he goes, that's what you can do with magnetics and vibration. Now, this guy had practiced working with his yin and yang energy and his chi. He'd learned how to really manipulate the magnetics of his field, of his body. But to have this experience happen to me was like, I mean, I was blown away. And I told him, I said, frankly, it kind of scared me a little bit. He goes, that's you know, you're not used to it. It's going to be a shocking thing. He goes, but just understand, these are the laws of vibration. This is how everything is all the time. He goes, you can connect with anything. So, you know, in the same context that we're speaking for today's show, I literally became one with this yogi man for approximately 15 seconds, I want to say, until it got too overwhelming for me, until I wanted to ground myself. I wanted to feel only me again. So I know it sounds a little cuckoo, but it happened. I don't know how else to explain it. I was so looking forward to telling you and the listeners about this because it really... You know, I've always known this. I've never questioned the laws of the universe and the laws of attraction, the laws of vibration. But when you actually experience it on like a physical, tangible level, it does something to your neuro patterns of your brain. It just rearranges them. So that's my experience. And,
very cool. Very cool. And I would suggest that is not something that is it may sound almost sacrilegious, but not something special.
Yeah, it's not.
I think we can all access that awareness.
Of course,
and
we can.
And it doesn't. Usually, though, however, we give ourselves permission in very limited context, and we usually have to have it sort of set up in our mind with things that bring our awareness to, you know, a point of readiness. And whatever is comfortable, you know, we use those mechanisms. And I've done some dyadic work, and I know exactly what the account you just related.
Yes.
I totally relate to that.
Wow.
I've done that a number of times. And
that's amazing.
And,
wow.
And I think what I'm learning to do is, and I think we can all do, is to realize that the relationship that we have with everyone and everything is the truth.
Yes.
And the form and the body and the behavior really is just the mechanics that really ultimately can drop away.
Yes.
But we seem to need the form for a limited time,
yes,
for an unlimited basis in order to be able to be comfortable with that.
Yes.
But ultimately, I think, in fact, there's a quote here in this same chapter. And which the key word of this that I associate with it is love, because I think
yes,
to let go of the boundaries that the ego imposes really reveals the loving kindness that's behind everyone and everything.
But
we have to look at the shadow stuff first.
So
we have
true.
To look at our resistance,
yes,
and the anger that we have, and the negativity, and the willingness to not see it,
yes,
and gently set that aside, but it's really nothing that we've imposed in front of everything.
So
here's this quote. This is from Viola Petit Neal, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, PhD, and Shafaga Karagula, MD, from Through the Curtain. And the quote is, love is a cohesive force that holds things in relatedness. So by seeing relationships, you are participating in the love activity of the universe.
Wow.
And that really is the correspondence. That's the one-to-one,
yes,
relationship we have that seems to be, you know, one self, one other self, one thing, one other thing. But
yes,
it's really just the oneness apparently reflected and mirrored and lensed,
wow,
if you will.
That is... That is
yeah, into seeming others.
That is such a perfect quote to close the show with, Bruce. That's just like literally that is the essence of everything. That I mean, love is the glue of the universe.
That's it.
That's it, man. Bruce, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Always a joy to be in conversation with you.
You're just
your listeners.
You're just my favorite, man, and you're just amazing. I mean, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from my heart to yours, Bruce, and of course, all to the listeners, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from my heart, from Bruce's heart, all to yours and the world. Guys, make sure to check out geometrycode.com for extended information on today's show. You guys also got to pick up the book, The Geometry Code, Universal Symbolic Mirrors. It's a very, very powerful book. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. That's at Good Vibe Station. And just make sure to have a super powerful and uplifting week. Once again, guys, all the love from our hearts to yours. Thank you, Bruce, for everything. You're the best, man.
Thanks, dude.
And we'll talk to you guys next Sunday. Bye-bye.